Good morning, Valley.
Good morning.
It is December the 1st. Where did the year go? I'm excited to be here kicking off our new series, Christmas in the Old Testament, watching how God's revelation has progressed and giving us a picture and hope. We're living in a day and age where most people have lost all hope. I have a good friend. He is my accountability partner. You can turn me down. Yeah, because I don't want to blow anybody away. I want you to come back, amen? His testimony is so powerful. He said in order for him to come to Christ, God had to develop a storm called Katrina that would relocate him from Louisiana to Baltimore. But in that whole process, he had a mother that never stopped praying for him, a mother that continued to pray that he would come to know the God of the Bible, that he would come to know Christ. His mother passed, never saw the man of God who he is today. But she had hope in a Savior that is faithful. She had hope in the one that transforms lives. I think today we want to see the God that transforms lives, the God that makes those things that seem impossible possible. We all have people in our families that don't know Christ, amen? Amen? That are far from him. But part of our job is to believe that God wants to use us to be channels of love to them. So today we're going to start in our Old Testament. But before that, I want you to look at Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. My accountability partner, his mom, was sure about who God was and what he was capable of. But the reality is, we place so many labels on people that we forget how powerful our God is. And now we're going to see a journey from the father of the faith, Abram, soon to be called Abraham. And we're going to see the promise that he gave to Abraham, beginning in Genesis 12, verse 1. It said, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you.'" Stop right there. He's calling Abraham to separate from everything that he understands and knows to be true. He's calling to separate from his country, from his culture, and from his community. All those things that we place our identity in, God is calling him out from that. Look at this. "To a land that I will show you." Brother Nate, if I went home and told my wife, "Honey, I had a word from the Lord. He told us to leave the United States, to leave Maryland, oh, and by the way, leave your children and family." Once I said children, I'd have lost her. "And we're going to some place." He just said, "Start driving. Talk to me." She would say, "No, honey, I need more instruction." You're laughing over there, Roy. I think Elaine would say, "Roy, I believe in the God you serve, but I need a better itinerary. I need to understand where we're going." what happens is we put our faith in what we see. God wants us to put our faith in what we don't see, but it's backed by his word. Can you follow me on that? God wants us to see based upon the truth of his word and not based upon the truth of your circumstances. Too many times we hit those circumstances that are huge, right? They're real, but our God is real. We just sang about the resurrection. We sang about him being resurrected from the dead. So is anything impossible for God? So when you're talking about God's plan and God's timing, we have to understand God has a redemptive plan that he wants man to be a part of. Amen? And that calls each of us to leave something behind, to grab on to the truth of where he's taking you. So sometimes you have to let go of those yesteryears so that you can align yourself with God. You've got to let go of what people used to call you to what God calls you. A lot of times we get stuck and we can't move forward because we're living in yesteryear. Abraham is challenged to let go, separate from everything, and cling to the God of the Bible. And when you're clinging to the God of the Bible, you have all you need, amen? There's nothing else that you need. So his allegiance is getting ready to change. God's getting ready to do something new in his life that causes him to trust. But even more than trust, God's starting to tell him about his journey. Look at what he says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. Let's pause right there. I got to give you some backdrop. His wife Sarai, she is barren. She had no children. And he just said, I will make you into a great nation. Nation means there's going to be a lot of people coming out of your family. But we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. God, how in the world do you expect me at 75? Amen. I was going to bring that up. To believe you're taking me to a land, and all these years my wife has not had a child, and now you're saying we're going to be a great nation. God, you're funny. Abraham is struggling, but God wants us to remember God alone opens the womb and God alone closes the womb. Look at Genesis chapter 29:31. When the Lord saw Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. That's a whole story in and of itself. I will not jump into that story, although I'm tempted to. All I want you to see is that God opens the womb and God closes the womb. God's in control of your circumstances. But God is gracious. When you don't understand and can't see it all, turn to the Word of God. God confirms his promise to Abram in Genesis chapter 15. Look at what he says in verse 2. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was reconfirmed by the Lord that he was going to have many children, as many as the stars above. But you know what happened? A second time, God didn't do it immediately. Have you been praying for something, and it seems like God's in delay? Like you're just praying and it's just not happening. I'm promising you, God's not in delay. God's developing something in your heart to see more of his character so that you can be transformed into his image. He's not being slow. He's not listening to you. He's hearing you, but he's developing you. Because a lot of times we got to get Barry out of the way. I believe I have the best plans, amen? Do you believe your plans are good? I got to know. It's okay. But I believe I come up with the best plans. Ask my wife. That never work out. And Abram and Sarai had a plan. Gentlemen, I'm going to help you in a moment. I need all the men in the room to pay attention. They were childless, remember? Here we go. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Poor Abram. And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Every man in this room, all eyes right here. I don't care what your wife says. If she offers another woman to you, there you go, sis. Thank you. Say no. Say, baby, we're going to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. We're going to wait till God brings a child. We're not going to circumvent our problem by creating a bigger problem. Because too many times, men, we're passive listeners. Our wives talk. We nod. We act like we're present. I'm telling on myself. I've been in therapy for this for a long time. But when she says something so key, I'm going to give my maidservant to you, she shouldn't even be able to finish her sentence. Because at that time, you're playing God. God reconfirmed with him twice that he was going to have a child and it was going to come through his wife, not through a surrogate. So sometimes we get into being impatient. And God believes he's taking way too long. I do that every time I go to the store. I hate shopping. This time of the year is like the worst time of the year for me. But it could be a good time if I looked at it different. There are opportunities all around me to share the love of Christ. But what am I concerned with? How fast I can get in and out of the store. and how can I get to the shortest line? And please, God, give me a nice sales associate. Don't give me somebody that's been there for 10 hours and wants to go home. I think we miss opportunities because we want things our way. This isn't Burger King. You don't get it your way. God's using you to share his story of his life and his resurrection. So each time, look for those opportunities to understand that God's working something greater in you to build your faith. Look at what Hebrews says about Abram's faith. By faith, Abram, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. Did you catch that? He considered God faithful because of the promise. Whatever problem you're going through today, and there's a bunch of them, have you considered God as faithful? That he would never leave you nor forsake you. That he would walk with you through whatever you're going through. Even in those moments when everybody else isn't there, he's right there with you, holding you up, enabling you to make it through. So in this season, remember, God is faithful and God cares. He also told Abram, I will bless you and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless you. The Hebrew word means wealth as well as children. And so we understand the blessing that Abraham was looking for. God already addressed his children. He told him, I'm going to give you children. But now God's getting ready to bless him with wealth. You got to remember, he left everything. And God says, I'm your provision. I'm going to take care of you. And you see it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 16. Abram had a fearful nature. His wife was very beautiful. And every time they went into a land, he said, please tell him you're my sister so that it will go well with me. When God's doing something, you don't have to shrink back from what God's doing. Let God be God. But Abram, like us, sometimes you go into a new land and you already assume what's going to happen before it even happens. And so you say, this is my plan. Sarah, I just say that you're my sister. He did, and that while they were in Egypt, Pharaoh took her as one of his wives, and look at what God did. Genesis 12, 16, he treated Abram, no. When Pharaoh figured out that I'm not supposed to touch him, her, because she's married, God came to him in a vision. She said, Genesis 12, 16 said, he treated Abram well because of her, and Abram acquired flocks and herds, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves, and camels. So Abram walked away with a whole lot. Didn't have to do anything. God provided for him. And back in Bible times, your wealth was basically how many animals you have, how many people do you have under your roof that you're taking care of. And remember, at some point, him and Lot were in a land. They had so much stuff that they could not, the land would not hold them, so they had to separate. And so God provided for Abraham, But he also told him he would make his name great. When you hear a great name, I think of character. Abram became the father of the faith. And it's because he believed God, even though he stumbled, of which we all stumble, amen? But Abram believed God, and God continued to confirm what he was going to do through Abram's life in Genesis 17, 5 through 6. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Understanding, he still has no children, and God's telling him, you're going to have nations, and kings are going to come from you. And then he starts, Abram has to understand, God is blessing you so that you can be a blessing to others. This season, in a season where so many people struggle, have you asked yourself the question, how can God use me to bless someone else? How can God use me? Because God's blessed us abundantly. Who is that person that God wants me to share his love with? And then he goes down to verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. This is the promise of a coming Messiah. All the earth will be blessed through you. By this one man's obedience, all the earth will be blessed through you. Understanding, Genesis chapter 22, 17 says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And here it is. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Understanding Abram's decision had great ripple effects. To believe that the God of the Bible was going to do something supernatural through him and his wife. They didn't have kids, catch this, until they were 190. Let that sit there for a while. And they didn't just have one. They had multiples. God is not delayed in keeping his promises, amen? So part of our process is to understand our part, amen? And sometimes our part is just waiting. I know that wasn't deep. No, that wasn't very theological. Sometimes you have to wait. In a society that tells you waiting is bad, everything needs to be instant, your sanctification is not instant. The process that God takes you through is so that you can see more of him, so that you can mirror what you see. As you're going through a difficult season, start asking yourself the question, what does love require of me? It's a simple question. Because we're called to love God and we're called to love our neighbor. So if we focus only inward, we miss what God's doing upward. So the question that we need to ask, especially when you have these family get-togethers, amen? What does love require of me? And if you need some context for how you're going to rate this, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love is patient, love is kind, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrong, keeps no record of wrong. Married people, keeps no record of wrong. Everybody that's married, no record of wrong. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he doesn't bring our sins back up, so why should we? Believes all things. Believe your spouse is not your enemy. Oh, that hit me in my shana. Believe your spouse is not the enemy. Believe that God's working in your marriage. Because the only person you can control is who? Me, myself, and I. So as you are believing God for a supernatural act, keep your eyes focused on him and not your circumstances. Abram kept his eyes on God, and he understood that the offspring or the seed that they were talking about was the Lord Jesus, that our Savior was on the way, that once he got here, he would make all things right. And so he had that belief in the Messiah. My question is, your belief in the Messiah, or is your belief in your circumstances? We saw a whole situation where everything medically said, no, you're not going to have a child. You are 89 years old and he's 99. Not going to happen. But you saw a God that kept reconfirming, I am going to do it. Trust me. Do you believe me? As we go into Advent, what are you believing God for? What's that thing in your life that you need God, that only God can do? He is the God of resurrection. He brings those things that are dead back to life. Sometimes it's our walk with him. God, I need to draw closer to you because I need to see more of you and less of me. Will you resurrect my walk? Or as Peter did when he spoke, he confirmed that what we just learned was the coming Messiah. Look at what Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 25 through 26. And you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, Jesus, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. So even Peter saw that the seed, the offspring that they were talking about was Jesus. Paul also confirms this in Galatians 3, 28 through 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. So understanding the promise was that a Messiah was coming and he was going to make all things new. My question, have you surrendered to this Messiah? Have you given your life to him? Or have you said a prayer? You got to remember, Abram got rid of everything, separated from everything, and went all in with Jesus. This Advent season, maybe that's your call today, to go all in with Jesus. Or maybe it's your call to be all in here at Valley. God is doing some amazing things and doing a lot of new things. And part of his new things, he started a new covenant. In a minute, we're getting ready to celebrate communion. We're getting ready to celebrate what Christ did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. So if you have not gotten your communion cup and you need one, just slip up your hands. We'll have someone come by and serve you. Communion's a time to look back and see what God did for us through Jesus. It's a time to look in to make sure we're right with God and that we've confessed any sin, but it's a time to look forward to the new Jerusalem, to the place that he's building, not made with hands. And so the Bible says on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's give thanks for the bread. And then as you look back to the cross and meditate for a few moments, take it when you're ready, and then we'll take the wine. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus who was beaten and bruised on our behalf so that we could be in right relationship with you. Thank you as a body that we could come together to celebrate our relationship with you. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for the blood spilt on Calvary. We thank you that in you we have newness of life. And so, Father, in this season, help us to walk in that newness of life. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for our time today. We thank you for the hope that is in Jesus. We thank you for the picture that you placed in the Old Testament, your plan of redemption, to work through Abram to produce the Lord Jesus. God, help us to surrender all to you this day. that we would live in accordance to your will and your way. And that one that's wrestling right now, God, I pray that you bring peace, knowing, God, that you're not delayed in answering, but you're still working in their situation. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now's the time in the service where we'll sing one more song. And if God has challenged you or you want prayer, Pastor Mike will be up front. I will be up front. Pastor David will be. And whatever God's challenging you with, now is your time to respond. We'll have one more song, and then following that, we'll have our opportunities. Please rise.